Welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy. This is going to be a short episode. My apologies for not having a December episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. My dear friend, comedian Jackie Pearl, was all set to come on, and unfortunately she fell ill that morning and had no voice. So obviously an interview wasn't going to work out, and that was in December. And then everything just kind of spun out of control with holidays and everything else. And it's taking me this long to get back to things, but there are some very big reasons. Let's unpack this. Big news, this will be the very last episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy in the Bay Area. We're still going to have episodes, I'm still going to continue the show, but my boyfriend and I are relocating to Oregon, and we will be living just outside of Portland, so this has required a whole lot of rearranging of things, and I don't know if you can see behind me, things are in a bit of disarray. Most of our life is already boxed up. We will be on the road and headed to our new home in about a week, so crazy making. But there's some exciting things about Oregon that I would like to share with you that are especially exciting to me, considering my love of mushrooms, especially the magic ones. So first, a bit of an explanation of my crazy December. So my boyfriend and I think that was around the 17th, we drove my car up to Portland and started house hunting. We had to find a place to live, and we had to find it fast because then he was going to quit his work and we're going to have to move because he's going to start work at the end of this month. Not recommending relocating near the holidays at all. It's crazy. It's hard to get people to call you back when you're trying to look at places. Just setting up the schedule and trying to cram it into a few days was really quite insane. And then, because it was around the holidays, this was my opportunity to celebrate with my children. And one of the great things about relocating is my youngest daughter lives in Portland, and she lives there with her fiance. I've interviewed her, and her fiance has joined her as well for Unpacking Life's Crazy, so you might remember their faces. And then my eldest daughter and her husband live in Seattle. So the first crazy thing was the house hunting, and then we picked up my daughter and her fiance. So Kira and Kana rode with us to Seattle, and we spent a couple of nights with my daughter Megan and her husband Josh and their menagerie. They have two great cats and their Shiba Inu dog, who I've babysat before, and now they have this new one, Tala, which is like a hybrid, I don't even know what wolf-like thing. She's giant and she's only 7 months, so that was an adventure. And so we had a really nice celebration. And then after that, we took my daughter and her fiance back home to Portland, looked at more houses, dropped off my car, because that was part of the whole reason for this. And all of this while our dear puppies were being babysat by my friend Sharon in our hometown of Sonora. So then we flew back to the Bay Area, spent one night. I mean, we got back really late. We spent one night here. Then we met up with my boyfriend's brother, DJ, who had flown into the Bay. And he joined us on our trip to Sonora to get our dogs. Quick visit to my favorite massage therapist in all the world, Christian Dimmock. Got my last massage with him before we leave California, had a nice visit. He's been my ally in some of my pain issues and all of that through these years, so I'm very grateful to him. And from there, for the massage, picking up the puppies, saying hi to my boyfriend's mom and her boyfriend really quickly, we went to Fresno. And then we were in Fresno through Christmas, through the 28th. His sister came up, his relatives dropped in. It's been a lot. And on the 28th, we came back down to the bay so that we could get DJ back to the airport. And then packing and figuring out this huge move thing, putting in an application for one of the places. And there was a bunch of back and forth on that. But we have a house. We will be relocating to Beaverton. And it's exciting. We're getting an extra bedroom in an actual house with a huge backyard, which my two sweet little puppies are going to love. And all of that is wonderful. There's going to be a dedicated room for my art and the podcast and office stuff and yoga. Yeah, we're going to make that all fit in that one room, I hope. And so on to the little bit more exciting news for the listeners. Now that I've got a little bit of, oh my gosh, that adventure out of the way. And I'd really hoped that Jackie would be able to make it back before the move so I'd get that recording in. But we're running out of time and I have to pack up my computer and recording equipment basically as soon as I get this podcast out. So the interview with Jackie is going to have to wait until I unpack everything at our new home. But here's for the exciting news. Now, I've had a couple of episodes about how I feel about magic mushrooms and how much they have helped me in treating my PTSD and coping with my anxiety. It's been amazing. For those of you who don't know, I went off of psych meds for the first time since I was 16. I went off psych meds during the pandemic. And that's kind of crazy. I don't recommend just going off psych meds. It's not exactly a good idea. However, I went off them for a very good reason. I was on SSRIs. If you want to get the benefits of magic mushrooms, you can't be on SSRIs because they block the receptors in your brain that take in the stuff that makes it work. So that was a part of me getting to the point of being able to take psilocybin to try to help me with these, to help me with the PTSD and the anxiety. And you can go back and review the episodes about magic mushrooms. I have a video, but also I have a whole audio episode on the podcast. So I did that. It helped immensely. And going back in time even further, before I had to go on disability because of the pain for my medical conditions, before that, I was a massage therapist and a healer. I did some energy work. I know it's kind of woo-woo and weird, and honestly, if I didn't do it myself and know that it worked, I would think it was a little crazy, but it's something that I did, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed helping people. And one of the things I would also do with my clients is we would talk through some of the emotional things behind their physical pain, because oftentimes there is an emotional thing. So that brings me back around to, okay, so I had this experience with psilocybin and I've been microdosing to keep my anxiety in check. And I was like, wow, this is super amazing. I really, really want to be able to help other people experience this. But I didn't want, I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to be a therapist. I want to do this on a clinical level. It wasn't something like that. The other thing that I've mentioned a little bit in the podcast, but it's a little bit odd, is I'm part Native American and I grew up traveling the powwow circuit with my father. He's an ass, but the culture is awesome. There's a lot of really great things about the Native culture. So a couple years back, I painted a teepee because I wanted a meditation space, kind of a healing space that was kind of separate from the rest of the world. So I got this canvas teepee and I painted it. You'll see pictures in some of these episodes. And I had this thought, if I could sort of combine the plant medicine with the spiritual part of it and help people have kind of a spiritual journey to help them on their healing process, that's what I'd really, really like to do. Well, through my process of dealing with trauma and all of that, I have had one therapist who has been really phenomenal. And I'm not going to mention her name for a couple of reasons, but she has known about my journey and using psilocybin, and she's been really good about keeping up with how much the therapeutic community is learning about this and seeing how much it's helping people with PTSD and anxiety and trauma and all of those things. She keeps up on all that. So I had one therapist here in the Bay when I told them, hey, I'm going to go off SSRIs because I want to try psilocybin. And it is legal in Oakland. And I am a member of a church there, a church of entheogenic plants called Zydor. And they've helped me with these experiences. And so when I told my one therapist in the Bay, this is what I was going to do, she's like, oh, I can't condone that and whatever. And I'm sorry. And basically my therapist broke up with me. And I was like, okay, well, I've been doing therapy for years and I've tried all your medicines and tried all your stuff and I need to go to the next level. So this is what I'm going to do. And I'm asking for your help with it. And she's like, no. Okay. All right, fine. Bye-bye. And that's what I needed to do. And I'm glad that I did. It's really been a huge thing. But my therapist that I'd had for many years who was following this, and she was like, okay, great. Well, keep me posted. Let me know how it goes. Improved my life so much. And so when I told her about this idea about, you know, I really want to be able to help other people, and I don't see it being a clinical thing. I see it being more of a spiritual, you know, journey. And she said, oh, I think that's great. And here's a link to this. And here's a link to that. And check this out and look into it. Because, you know, with the cultural connection, maybe there's a way to make it work. I don't know. And there's a really great series, which I mention anytime that I talk about magic mushrooms. There is a series on Netflix about psychedelic therapy, and I encourage you to check that out. Anybody who's interested in it should look into it. So I had heard that they had decriminalized psilocybin and psychedelics in Oregon, but I didn't really know a whole lot about what was going on. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know I was going to be moving to Oregon, so I was looking into it a little bit to see if it could benefit my daughter, but I didn't really know much of what was going on. So suddenly, my boyfriend has this great job offer, and he will be working in, he's an engineer, he'll be working in green energy, so helping to make the planet better. So we're real excited about that as well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be in Oregon. It's decriminalized. How is that going to work? A, can I grow it? Can I grow my own mushrooms because I'm not going to have access to my church anymore? So then what? You know, so that was part of it. But I started reading up on it. So just a teaser, because I don't know all the details yet. I'm just getting into this. I'm just figuring it out. But what I do know is in November of 2020, Oregon passed Measure 109. It establishes a licensing and regulatory framework for psilocybin services. And what does that mean? It's kind of complicated, I guess. But basically, they want to have licensed facilitators who will be present for three components of psilocybin services. So what are those three components? One is a prep session. So I assume they interview the person, they see what their needs are, what's going on with them, why they want to take psilocybin, whatever. So they kind of have a baseline. And then step two, so this is like 3 days of sessions. So it doesn't all happen at once. So step two is the facilitation or the trip. And if you don't know this, if you take a significant amount of psychedelic, then we're talking 5 or 6 hours of tripping. So the facilitator would be there for that. And then the final part of that is the follow-up session or Q&A, talk to them about what they experienced. Now, this isn't necessarily a something that you'd be required to be a licensed psychiatrist for. But, so I want to check, okay, so if you don't have to be a licensed psychiatrist, what are the requirements? So the requirements are, one, that you be at least 21 years old and you have a high school diploma or the equivalent of high school diploma, so I assume GED, and that you reside in the state of Oregon. Now, that requirement is going to go away in 2025, but they have started the program as of this month, as of January 2023, this is starting. So that requirement goes away in 2025. So the fourth requirement is that you pass a criminal background check. The fifth is that you complete a psilocybin facilitator training. Now, here's where it gets a little bit expensive and kind of over the top, because I started looking, okay, what does this training entail? And it looks like some of them like go on for 12 months and there's this and there's, it's like, it's kind of extensive. And then the final part of it is you have to pass an exam at the Oregon Psilocybin, Oregon Psilocybin Services. So I don't even know exactly what that is. I guess it's a newly formed body that deals with this situation. So that is the basis of what this new psilocybin facilitator position is going to require. Now, an interesting thing, as I continued looking into this, because as I said, I'm looking at this on kind of a different level. I'm not looking at it from a therapeutic standpoint, and there's a couple reasons. The first is, one, the cost for taking this is really prohibitive. Like some of them, it sounded like we're like $10,000 in order to do this facilitator thing. And while I understand people can afford that, and if you're doing it in a therapeutic setting, you know, you want to have that. However, what I'm talking about is doing it at more of a spiritual level. And part of the reason is that I have some objection to the marketing of plant medicine. And yeah, of course, if you're going to help people, there's going to be some exchange of money for services. Okay, I get that. But I don't want the cost to be prohibitive for the people who need it most. And the people who need this plant medicine the most are often the people who can't afford it. And if you're thinking of it like a church, I mean, do you get charged by the Catholic Church to go in and make your confession or whatever it's doing or take communion? No. Yeah, you contribute to the church. You give your tithes or whatever if you're able, but the church doesn't just turn you away because you're poor or you have no shoes or whatever. However, if a person has to go into debt in order to get the training, then that sort of requires them to then charge the people who come to see them an exorbitant amount in order to make back the money that they had to invest in that training. So I have an objection about that. And that isn't what interests me about this potential miracle, this plant. I also have an objection to the fact that the plant was made illegal in the first place. Cultures have been using natural psychedelics, peyote, magic mushrooms. They've been using plant medicine long before there were laws, and these laws that made them illegal and penalized a lot of people who were just trying to help others. It penalized people who were self-medicating in order to try to make themselves better. And I don't like that this is becoming a commercialized thing. It really, really bothers me. I get emotional about these things. But capitalism can't control everything. It can't control, it shouldn't control nature. You know, it's got to stop. It shouldn't be a commercial thing. So I looked into it a little bit more, and it looks like there may be a side way to do this, that there may be a way to be an entheogenic practitioner, which is basically like a clergy member for a church that uses these plants as medicine and for their ceremonies and to, yeah, help people have a spiritual and emotional awakening and journey so that they can get better and go to that next level. So I'm really, really excited to be moving to Oregon just as this is getting started, just as this awakening, this freeing up of the plant medicine is happening. So that's just super cool. Also, the other thing, like I'm wearing these earrings that I make. And if you see my Etsy shop, I have lots of mushroom related sculptures and things. I have a lot of fun with it. So there'll probably be a market for that artwork as well, especially with this new psilocybin thing that's going on. So a lot is going on. As I said, this will be my very last episode recorded here in the Bay Area. And the next time I talk to you folks, it will be from our new home in Beaverton. And on a side note, and totally unrelated, in preparation for our move to the Portland area, we are rewatching the Grimm TV series. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Some of you may have. We're big fans. So it's like, hey, Grimm takes place in Portland, so let's watch that show again. Loving it again. And one of the cutest things is the police officers in the show for Portland, their badges have a little blue mushroom on it. It's super cute. But if you are a fan of Grimm, you'll get this. I'm pretty sure that Bud is from Beaverton, so maybe he'll be our neighbor. I hope so. Until next time, thank you for being listeners. And if any of this interests you, dive into it. I mean, the internet is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Use it well. Do your searches. And if you discover some stuff about this that I don't know, please put it in the comments. If you already know of a church of entheogenic plants in Portland area and you know where they meet, put that in there too, or send me a message because I would love to hear about it and get in contact with those folks. So until next time, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. This is a one-woman show. To financially support what I do, please visit buymeacoffee.com/ESP Phoenix. To support what I do and receive an original piece of artwork, please visit my Etsy shop, esperanzapaints.com, and check out the mushroom holiday ornaments too. Thanks again for watching. Until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love.